Eagle Curve Hockey Show Fantasy Hockey Special, starring Drew Mindell, Richard Pollock, featuring Michael Remus, and Dave... Now I forgot his last name.
I think he prefers David.
Featuring David something. And Ezra Ginsberg as the Beaver. The Illegal Curve Hockey Show Fantasy Hockey Special begins right now.
To the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, shortly past 1:30 in the afternoon here on Sports Radio 1290.
You okay, Drew?
You know, you're the one stressing me out. So
Michael Remus is back.
You guys, you stress me out. You do this at
Remus,
the last
did anybody
second.
Ask you for an autograph?
Tell you the story. It's kind of a funny story. We're walking out. We just done some interviews in the outside the locker room. We're walking out of the player walkway, and there's like a ton of kids there. You know, it's really nice. You know, seeing the kids get to see NHL players. They're all holding
and you apparently
and me. They're all holding out pens and pieces of paper, and they think me and Dave are NHLers, and they stop and they go, "Can I have your autograph?" And me and Dave are just like, "No, you don't want an autograph. It's gonna devalue the."
Did you tell them you weren't hockey players?
The security guy said that we were press.
Oh,
actually, a nice thing. Me and Dave are watching practice and. Some kids came around to the other side where we were on, and Zach Bogosian threw these two kids, you know, two pucks, and you know these pucks don't even have the Jets logo.
And then Remus took one of the pucks away from the kid.
These pucks didn't even have the Jets logo, but they were pretty excited to get them. So that was a nice thing that he did.
Well, the segment we're going to be playing a little bit of a trivia game. Remus?
Well, we're going to do that towards the end of the segment. We're going to give away one of the hockey prospectus books. We have a little bit of a trivia game going on.
Do we have trivia game music?
I think that's coming up. Well, let's do the rookies first, and then we'll get to it. And you can call in. What's the number here, Timmy? 780-1290.
We've been on the air on sports radio for 12 months, and you don't know our phone number?
I didn't know the number in the studio versus the number in that in the producer's
Drew.
Studio.
Drew, come on. I know you were out late last night, but come on.
Drew, you got some cachet there.
It's twice you've already used cachet, you guys. 780-1290 if you want to enter into our contest to win the hockey prospectus guide. That
we have two to give away, right? Or one.
Two or three.
Depending on the performance.
Take callers. Start calling in. If you're in your car or you're just in front of your laptop on YouTube, call in. Let's give out some free swag. Yeah.
You just wanted to say the word swag as far as I'm concerned.
Love that word.
Rookies. Richie, you're in a pool that, as you mentioned, specifically makes you draft a rookie amongst your first 17 picks.
It's very, it's very stressful to have a rookie requirement because I'll tell you this. I've been in this pool for many years with the rookie requirement. Two of the past 5 years, I've drafted a player who gets sent back down to the minors.
Is that because you're waiting to draft a rookie, or you're taking a guy who you think is doing something that he's not?
It depends on entry-level contracts. It depends on a number of things. And we talk about with Mark Scheifele. I mean, last year, for example, I thought Jeff Skinner would be a surprise player. But when you're in a pool, you're putting down Monopoly money.
Yep.
You know, taking a guy like Jeff Skinner who could not score for the first 9 games and be sent back to the junior or score 35, and you have to take him in, at some point in the middle rounds. That's a big risk to have 0 points there.
Richie, I think this year, I think I might be wrong about this, but I'm pretty sure last year, all 5 or 6, was it? First round draft picks were in the NHL. That was pretty rare. And this year, you've got Ryan Nugent-Hopkins that is expected to make the team. Gabriel Landeskog is a grown man at his age.
He looks 35.
He's expected to make the team.
Yes.
But then you got number 3, Jonathan Huberdeau. He's not expected to make the team. A lot of people are going to look at Huberdeau and say, well, he's 3rd. He'll make the team.
Yep.
Probably not. 4th overall, you've got Adam Larson, a defenseman who's drafted by my formerly favorite team, New Jersey Devils.
But he's
expected to play, but he's a defenseman.
And not that offensive.
Not that offensively. I mean, he's 18 years old. I mean, how good can a guy 18 years old do on defense in the Eastern Conference? I mean, I'd be shocked if he gets 30 points.
I agree. Totally agree.
So... You have to be careful about that. Mark Scheifele, there isn't 0% chance that he's going to make the Jets because he's an unbelievable player who scored 4 points in his first ever exhibition game. But the thing is, he is still a long shot. And even if he does make the team, as an 18-year-old, it's very difficult to expect him get more than 25, 30 points. So
if you have to do a rookie, if you have a rookie selection that you need to make, I would tend to lean on older players who are coming in as rookies.
Good point.
Like the 18-year-old Fidoms, are great, but as many of them flame out after 5, 6, 7 games.
Yep.
Or just, you know, like a Sagan. Last year, I want to get Sagan. But also look at the team circumstances. This is what happened. Going into last season, Sagan made the team. Ahead of him on the team, Mark Savard, before he got injured. Mark Savard, David Krejci. Those are the two top centers there, and Patrice Bergeron. Those centers are amazing. But think about that. Where is Sagan going to play? He's a fourth-line center.
Yep.
But he hasn't filled the fourth-line role. They have Gregory Campbell and other
yep.
guys who fill that role. So where does he fit into the big scheme of things? On the other hand, Taylor Hall, with nobody on Edmonton.
Yep.
I mean, if Sagan
he's
played on Edmonton last year,
yep.
he would have been worthy of a high pick.
Yep.
Hall is a great player. They're both good. They're different players, but they're both good. But check out the circumstances.
Richie.
Colorado doesn't have anybody. I would take Landeskog.
The Tyler Sagan comparison is very good as far as Scheifele goes. Obviously, Sagan was drafted 2nd overall. Scheifele was drafted 7th overall. But both centers, and that's the problem, Drew, on the Jets. Why would you want Scheifele
exactly.
to come into the NHL
yeah.
and play on the fourth line for 10 minutes
that's
a game
exactly
and do nothing?
Right.
So it's all about development. And you know, Kevin Cheveldayoff and Craig Heisinger have stressed development. And whether or not, I have no inside track on whether Mark Scheifele is going to make the team. I'm not going to speculate. But if he does make the team, it'll be because they think him playing in the NHL is better for his development. And I would have to lean towards him going back to Barrie. And keep in mind, Scheifele's only played 1 year in the OHL. I would have to say that even if he scores 10 more points in the next 5 preseason games,
probably still
his development would probably
agreed.
Still be
agreed.
Better off in the OHL.
Drew, what do you got on the list? You have the McKean list there. They list the rookie guys. Why don't we talk about that?
Well, let's talk about it real quick. Let's talk about it. The number one rookie that they suspect is going to be Braden Schenn coming in Philadelphia.
Yeah, a guy who's had his seasoning now.
Yeah.
But the question is, we talked about it earlier, guys. I mean, if Briere sticks up the middle, and so does Giroux, well, is he a third-line center? And if he's a third-line center, think about their power play. You have Voracek. You have Jágr, right? You have Briere. You have Hartnell. You have Giroux. Where is he going to fit in the big scheme of things? Who is he playing with? Who's he taking time away from is what I'm asking.
Fair question.
Because you have Pronger and Carl on the back end. Coburn can play the power play. So can Timonen. So when you look at it that way, whose ice time is he taking? If he's not playing power play time and he's playing third-line minutes, it doesn't matter how good he is.
2nd overall, they have Gabriel Landeskog, who you guys just mentioned.
Well, you know, Drew, that's opportunity. Colorado's mm-hmm. not very good. They have a lot of young talent. Let it ride. He looks like he's 30, but he plays like that, too. He's built like a truck.
I can go through this whole list, and we will. But give me one player that, if you guys had your choice, or your rookie, who's the rookie you're drafting right now?
It's a tough call for me because, I mean, this past draft year, the 2011 draft year, didn't have explosive offensive players maybe that the previous years had. But, I mean, last year, Taylor Hall had some injury problems towards the end of the year, but was pretty good. I would have to say I would go with the safe pick. If I'm taking the top pick, it would either be Nugent Hopkins or Landeskog for me.
Richie?
What about a guy like Zibanejad in Ottawa?
Sure.
He's impressed lately.
Yeah.
But now that comes the risk, right? And with that comes the risk of a guy who could be sent down. But Ottawa's not very good. There's going to be a lot of opportunity there. That's somebody to consider. I would consider Landeskog very highly because of this reason. I mean, we talked about him a lot. Because he's not your normal junior guy. He's a different breed, and he's going to play. He would be very high on my list. I might take him, you know, not necessarily the first, because I think Nugent Hopkins probably goes first, but a guy I would take, you know, when the rookies slide over to me. I would err away from the Scheifele's and you know, for certainly a Larson and guys like that. Now, I mean, okay, go ahead, Drew.
No, I was just going to say, let's wrap this up. Let's go to break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to give away our first of the Hockey Prospectus magazines. Chris from downtown, you're first up in the competition, the trivia, little trivia game we've created here. So let's head to break. When we come back on the other side, it's going to be giveaway time. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I believe, Michael Remus, you've created some theme music for this fabulous game. Let's head to that.
Should we do the intro? Welcome to the Illegal Curve Fantasy Hockey Trivia Game, and your host, Drew Mindell.
That was amazing.
Welcome to the show, Chris from downtown. Chris, welcome to the fantasy trivia show, whatever he just said. Chris,
I just turned on the radio and you said to phone in, and I didn't know I was getting into a competition, but let's go here.
Okay, well, we'll try and take it easy. We'll try and make it easy on you, Chris.
Chris, you can win a great fantasy hockey guide from Hockey Prospectus, so it's a good thing that you waited on the line here, buddy.
Good stuff.
Chris.
Okay, I'm ready.
Ready for question number one, Chris. And there's five questions, and you have to get three out of the five right.
Oh, boy.
In order to win the Hockey Prospectus guide.
Pressure is on.
Before we get to the first question, we just, when you get the question correct, you'll hear this noise. When you get the question wrong, you'll hear this noise.
Laughter.
Yeah. No, the laughter comes automatically regardless. Yeah.
Okay. I'm ready.
First question. According to the good people at Hockey Prospectus, what Winnipeg Jet is going to have the most goals this season?
Ladd.
Andrew Ladd is your answer. Are you sure you're going to go with that answer?
Yes, I am.
Okay, should I lock it in?
It's locked in?
Yep.
We're locking it in.
Locked in. I don't know.
Then the answer is?
Oh.
Oh.
Oh. Oh for one. Second question. Which Winnipeg Jet player is going to have the most points?
Jeez.
Forwards or defensemen? Including both. We talked about him earlier.
Oh, jeez. See, I missed the show.
That's okay.
Well,
we'll give you a hint.
The first guy you mentioned. Hey, the first guy.
So you're going to lock in the answer of Evander Kane?
Yeah, that sounds good. Evander Kane, yeah, he's fast. Yeah, he flies.
And the answer is?
Sorry, I'm locking it in there.
Oh. Oh, there's the laughter.
Oh. Oh for two.
All right, you got to get one here to keep it going.
You got to get the next three right, Chris.
People on the line, if he doesn't get it, we're asking the same questions until you get it right.
Exactly. Peebus is losing it over there with the sound effects.
Chris.
Right. Yeah.
The over-under. Okay. Is Tobias Enstrom going to score over 10 goals according to Hockey Prospectus or under 10 goals? Your odds are 50-50 here.
Well, let's go with the under.
You're going to lock in the answer?
Yeah, underdog here.
And the answer is? Actually, the answer is correct.
Yeah, Remus, Michael. You screwed up there. That answer is correct.
That is correct, Chris. Congratulations. You're one
of three. Here
one of three. You got to get
Chris,
this one right.
Chris, we apologize.
To keep
Remus is trigger happy. That was the right answer.
Yeah, there we go.
All right.
Question number four for you, Chris.
Okay.
Andrew Ladd, is he going to score over or under 50 points?
Oh, let's go under.
Are you going to lock in that answer?
Oh, yeah. Big lock in Howie. Ching, ching.
The answer is locked in. Michael, is that a yes or a no?
Okay.
Ooh. That's too bad, Chris. Thanks for playing here. We're going to have to go on to the next caller. Keep listening.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Let's go to line number two. We have Mike from Windsor Park.
Yes, sir.
Mike, welcome to the contest.
Merci beaucoup.
How are you doing this afternoon?
Not bad.
That's good. Mike, let's start with the first question again. I don't believe we didn't give the answer, did we?
No,
we didn't.
Okay. According to the good people at Hockey Prospectus, who is going to score the most goals on the Winnipeg Jets?
Who's going to score the most goals for the Winnipeg Jets?
Yes.
Ladd.
Andrew Ladd is your answer?
Right.
Let's go to the judges. Andrew Ladd, is that correct or incorrect?
Correct.
incorrect.
Incorrect. 0 for 1, Mike.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. This is according to Hockey Prospectus.
By the way, Mike, Drew doesn't have any of the answers, so...
Mike, second question. You're 0 for 1 to start. According to the good people at Hockey Prospectus, who is going to score the most points for the Winnipeg Jets?
Forward or defenseman?
Forward, naturally.
Which specific player?
We'll give you a tip. It might be a forward or a defenseman.
Well, I just said forward.
Right, and we need a specific name of a player.
Oh, and Ladd again.
Andrew Ladd is your answer. Right. Let's go to Michael Remus for the answer. Oh, 0 for 2. 0 for 2. Not a great start there, Mike. Mike, next question. Over under 30 points for Zach Bogosian.
Over.
You're going to go with over.
You bet.
Michael? Oh, Mike.
Three in a row,
that's it. You have to get at least three out of the five, Mike. Sorry, we're going to have to go on to the next caller.
Okay.
Thanks for playing. Mike. Let's go to Kevin from Charleswood. Kevin, welcome to the game.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
What's
doing
up, Kevin?
Very well. All right, Kevin, you got to beat the last two guys, although they gave it a valiant effort. Here we go.
Kevin, according to the good people at Hockey Prospectus, and God, we want to give away a book at some point, so, you know, according
Drew
to
Philbin,
yeah, according to the good people at Hockey Prospectus, who is going to score the most goals for the Winnipeg Jets?
I think they'll have Kane having a big year.
Oh, Vander Kane, let's go to the answer board. Oh, one for one.
One
good
for
start.
One.
Good start, Kevin. We like
Kevin's
to hear
on
that.
Fire right
you just
now.
Just got to go 500 the rest of the way.
Yeah. Question number two, Kevin. According to the good people at Hockey Prospectus, who is going to score the most points for the Winnipeg Jets?
Let's go with Big Buff.
Dustin Byfuglien is your answer.
Let's you, go. To... You keep stressing the D, so.
I like it. You're listening. Oh.
Yeah, he's right.
Two for two. You only need one of these next three, and if you've been listening closely, yeah, the answer is there for the taking. According to Hockey Prospectus, is Tobias Enstrom going to get over or under 10 goals?
Under.
Under.
This time.
For the Hockey Prospectus book, Michael Remus is under the correct answer.
Should we get to a drum roll, I think?
Don't screw up this time.
We have Kevin from Charleswood. Congratulations. You've won a Hockey Prospectus annual guide. I believe that's what it's called.
Annual, yep.
The annual guide from Hockey Prospectus. A fabulous tome on everything hockey related.
Kevin, you'll get it in 6 to 8 weeks.
Mike, Kevin, we're going to put you on hold on, Kevin. We'll put you on hold. Michael Remus is going to go take down some of your mailing information, and we'll drop that in the mail for you.
Thanks,
Kevin. Thanks for playing here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show's first ever and hopefully last ever trivia contest. Timmy, let's go to break. You're listening.
Are you tired?
I'm tired. You're listening to the Illegal Curve
Hockey
Show.
You want to call a friend,
Drew? No, I don't have any friends. You, the three of you are all I got.
50-50?
That's the odds of our friendship making it through the next 2 hours. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. 2 hours down, 2 hours to go. Winnipeg Jets puck drop, 7 o'clock sharp, live from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Joining us right after this program is going to be Hustler and Lawless, minus Lawless. Sitting in for Lawless is Adam Wozny of the Winnipeg Free Press.
Hustler and Wozny?
Hustler and Wozny, or... they got something better than Hustler and Wozny.
H&W.
Hustler and Woz, Hustler and Wazoo.
Huswaz?
Huswazny?
Wazhus?
Woz and Hus.
Yeah.
Lawlessless?
Lawlessless. Like
Lawlessless.
Yeah, it's the Lawlessless 2-hour pregame show.
Quickly, Drew, about rookies.
Yes.
You know, we talked about a couple of rookies. A couple that there's an oversight. Ryan Johansson.
Yes.
Johansson, a guy who scored in the game here on Tuesday.
That's right.
Very, very good player. I think that this team needs to make a run this year. They've stressed that he's very talented. He would be a good rookie to get your hands on. Obviously, there's defensemen too, and it's tough. You know, if you have a pool that requires you to take a rookie, you generally want to take a forward. But there are defensemen: Marc-Andre Gragnani,
yep. Buffalo Sabres.
Christian Ehrhoff might cut into some of his points, but he's got the potential certainly. Jonathan Blum in Nashville, a team that's always strong on the back end. Now Eric Gudbrandsson's not exactly an offensive defenseman, but nonetheless, Cody Hardson. A guy, you know, Vancouver's got injuries, especially on their top few lines.
Yeah.
Mahotra might still be injured. Hodgson was training with Gary Roberts this offseason. So there's potential there. So those are a couple more names to throw at you so you have an idea. And, of course, the highly regarded David Rundblad in Ottawa. It's a lot of defensemen. So guys like Alain Discog, who you think likely will play the whole season in the NHL, and as a forward, carry a lot of value. Make sure you know that.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We're joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show by Gus Katsaros of McKean's Hockey. Gus, good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on.
As always, Gus, appreciate it. We are going to be the negative Nellies in this segment, and we're going to talk about the guys that you would strongly suggest we avoid like the plague. Is that right?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Sometimes the guys that end up getting avoided, and I'm going to use a specific example, Paul Stanley always seems to drop in the queue forever and ever, and then he ends up being a very good producer.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not necessarily stay away from these guys, but don't necessarily overvalue them. Everybody else is going to pick them high, let them do that, and then you can kind of focus your energies on more positive areas.
Let's start with the bad news for Winnipeg hockey fans, and then we'll move on from there. The one that you have listed there as a Winnipeg Jet, he's injured right now, so I can see why you're saying that. Eric Fair, you say avoid him. Why is that?
I thought that it was partly just due to the type of talent that Washington had that maybe Ferrant ended up getting pushed down to a lower role or something not as prominent. But, you know, the reality is he's, aside from the fragility, which just seems to be perennial every single year, something is up with this guy. You have, I think, a limited skill set that might not necessarily break out to the totals that everybody else is expecting. Yeah, he joins another organization where he should get a more prominent role, but then the fragility comes back into play. So, you know, it's not that I wouldn't pick this guy, but I would let somebody else handle the headaches and keep him, like, really low in your draft rankings.
Gus, I'm really interested to hear what you say about this next guy, Jaromir Jagr. The Philadelphia Flyers basically signed him out of obscurity. It seems like he hasn't been in the league for 10 years. How many points can Jagr possibly get, and how excited should people be about drafting him in a hockey pool?
You know, there's a nostalgia obviously involved with Jagr. I don't think that Jagr is going to be the guy that everybody is expecting him to be. You know, the NHL has a very simple way of humbling players that don't necessarily play in that league for you know, an extended period of time. And you know, the KHL may be a good league, but it's not the NHL. So there's an element of work ethic and an element of pace and urgency that I think is going to be missing from Jagr's game. At the same time, because of the fact that he's a big body and he's still very strong and you know, tough to knock over, he's definitely an asset in the corners and along the boards. So I kind of see him as being a little bit more of a power play specialist and maybe a guy that can help you a little bit down low, but not anything that it's going to come out with, like, you know, 70, 80 points. If you're looking to draft Jagr, look at 50 points as the fulcrum. He might get 55, he might get 45, but somewhere around that range, I think, is where you should typically rank him. I would actually rank him a little bit lower, to be honest with you, but I think the consensus just seems to have him being on a tough Philadelphia team. Sorry to cut you off there.
That's all right. You have enough. You have another red flag out for a Kostitsyn brother, particularly Sergei. Is that partially due to the fact that he scored on one of every four shots he took on net last year?
You know, I didn't even know that. That's really interesting. No, it's got nothing to do with that. It actually has to do with the fact that I think that one, the role that he was inserted to was pretty good, considering that there was nobody else to fill that void. So I think that this year there might be a little bit more of a balanced approach there. I also think that he's going to be targeted a little bit more simply because he's shown that he does have a talent to be able to play in the NHL. So teams are going to have his name circled where they may not have last year. So I just think that a little bit more pressure, a little bit more of a, okay, well, you've done it once, let's see, repeat might take its toll on him. And, you know, Nashville in its entirety is not necessarily a very good scoring team, so it's not like he's going to have a lot of support to help him out there. So I just feel that he might struggle a little bit more this year and let somebody else deal with his issues.
We're joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show by Gus Katsaros from McKean's Hockey. We're talking about potential fantasy busts. Another guy you have listed here, Gus, is Brad Boyes. What about Boyes' game leads you to want to shy away from it?
Mostly because I feel that he's just become a perimeter type of player. Doesn't drive the net, doesn't get to those dirty areas, doesn't get to the position where he's able to use a lethal shot or even create plays. And, you know, Buffalo now has a little bit more in terms of balance and, you know, with Gerby and Tyler Ennis and obviously Villaleno. And Villaleno is actually quite underrated. It's going to be interesting to see what he does in Buffalo. But I think that Brad Boyes is going to probably get pushed off to the secondary. I think that he could possibly score 20 goals. That might be a ceiling at this point in time. He has to really do a lot to alter his game to become a lot braver. And I don't mean courageous. I mean, like, playing braver spots in the dirty areas, in those areas where you are going to start scoring goals and find some success.
Gus, Sam Gagne, this is going to be his fifth year in the league. He's almost 23. He's basically averaged 72 games over the last 3 years and got essentially the same results, 41, 42 points. He's also on your list. Why is he going to be a bust, and why are fans in Edmonton going to be disappointed probably again?
Yeah, that's the funny part, eh? The fans are really going to, they may not really like this. You know, Sam Gagne hasn't demonstrated that he's able to do things at the NHL level. He's demonstrated a definite skill set, and that's all fine and good, but, you know, he's too easy to knock off the puck. He'll shy away from contact. He'll avoid those kind of dirty areas, kind of like Brad Boyes does too. So, you know, it's nice to be able to stick handle through the entire opposition, but this is a physical game, and he just hasn't demonstrated yet that he's able to kind of fight through that adversity. And, you know, now he has another... The Eric Belanger signing is actually very interesting because it pushes Gagne, and if Gagne can't perform, mm-hmm. Belanger could easily step into that role. So now you have a kid that's really being pushed. Not only, you know, he's not given the position that he's been given over the course of the last couple of seasons. Now he has to fight for it and keep that roster spot. I think that added pressure, plus along with everything that we've kind of seen up until this point, may not necessarily make him the greatest fantasy choice.
It's a nice segue, Gus, into Belanger's former team, and that's in Phoenix. I like what you have here. Anybody but Keith Yandel.
Yeah. You know, last year, the Shane Doan scored 20 goals sometime like towards the end of the season, and, you know, there's just very little offense from Phoenix. I don't have any... There's nothing to tell me that they're going to finish in the bottom of the league. They're going to have to focus so much more defensively because Mike Smith is not Ilya Brizgalov. And you know, if you have other values in your pools, kind of like plus minus or anything like that, you're just not going to get any benefit from Phoenix. So, you know, let somebody else deal with that, except for Keith Yandel. Keith Yandel is a premier NHL defenseman. And you know, defensemen are also they're a very hot commodity. And when you own one, it's not just what he brings to your lineup. It's that asset value that you could potentially trade at some point in time, too. So stay away from the Coyotes except for Keith Yandel. And Keith Yandel would actually be one of the top five defensemen to target at some point in time.
Gus, there's really nothing I enjoy more than disappointing Toronto Maple Leafs fans. So tell them why Tim Connolly is going to bust.
Well, I don't think that he's, again, not necessarily a bust, but... we're going to go right into the fragility issue. Fragility just kills where you end up playing, where you end up picking players. You pick a guy in the second round and they get hurt. Zach Parise is a good example. And it could totally derail your entire season. So because of the fact that he's been pushed out of a secondary role in Buffalo and placed onto the first line in Toronto, doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be any better than he has been. And, you know, the reality is he's a 50-point player at this point in time. You put him in a very comfortable position a good position to health-wise, and that may, peak at 60, if that. There's a lot of questions that surround that entire line. You know, I was at Leafs training camp, and I saw a little bit of, you know, disconnect between between Connolly, Kessel, and Lupul. They may not necessarily stay together as an entire line all season, and there's bound to be some shuffling. It's good to have a first-line center on your roster, but in this situation, you've got a second-line center that's been thrust into a first-line center role and has fragility issues. So, you know, best thing to do is just let somebody else deal with that.
Gus, I've always been a huge Scott Gomez fan, dating back to his years in New Jersey, but, you know, the last few years, he's struggled big time offensively. Is there any reason to believe that Scott Gomez is going to return to anywhere near the form that he displayed in New Jersey?
No. The straight answer there is no. But at the same time, too, I feel that he'll do better than what he did last year. Last year was just a total, it can't even be a blip on the radar. It was such a disastrous season that he can't go anywhere but up. But at the same time, too, there's not as much offensive pressure on him as there might be on a Mike Camilleri or Thomas Pukanic. And I think that... when it comes down to it, what you're going to see is Montreal stars shine, and those players that aren't necessarily doing the job will probably get pushed aside. I mean, he's a candidate to get bought out next season as well, you know, maybe for the next few. And it just doesn't seem like Montreal is going to revolve enough around Scott Gomez to make him a better player than what he is now. At this point, he's just becoming a very good plugger, some guy that can work the boards, maybe dig pucks out, but he's not that dynamic offensive force that he showed with the Devils at all.
Yeah, I can't really believe how poor his shot is for a National Hockey League player. Gus, two guys who were on fire in the playoffs, and that seems to always stick with certain fans because they get to see them more than they usually do, Joel Ward and Sean Bergenheim. Why should fans be cautious about those two players?
Well, Joel Ward has never really indicated that he's a very dynamic scorer at the NHL level. And, you know, the reality is he's a very good defensive player. And his offense last year stemmed from being in such good support positions that he was able to kind of capitalize on the transition or the play, or he was able to be in the right place at the right time as well. It's nice to be on Washington, and they're going to be, you know, a little bit tighter, but they're still a pretty offensively oriented team. So people, I think, are going to look at that and say, Joel Ward smashed in the playoffs, is going to a much better club, you know, 1+1=2, and they're going to draft him pretty high. And I would say that I think that they picked him up for the same reason that they picked up a guy like Marco Sturm last year, fill that third-line role with a little bit of skill, not as much as they'd want on their top two lines, but just enough to be an offensive threat if the play turns from a defensive standpoint. So Joel Ward is probably not going to give you any more points that he probably has already. Sean Bergenheim is another one. He's, obviously the high-profile playoffs that he did have definitely increased his stock. And going to a Florida team that requires players to be a little bit better than they're capable of and is going to make him a lot more attractive. But, you know, the bottom line is he's also a hardworking, he's subtly skilled, but he's not necessarily an offensively skilled dynamo. He's not that type of player. He had a good run in the playoffs, but I don't feel that that's going to spill over into this regular season. So while everybody's drooling over how many goals he scored in the playoffs, your attention should actually be somewhere else where you can find better value.
Gus, the next question isn't so much about guys who are going to be quote-unquote busts, but it's going to be about sort of the top picks who might not perform at a top pick level. One of the typical, of the guys, sort of the usual guys who are going to go in the first round, everybody knows who those are. Which one of those guys jumps out at you and says, whoa, maybe we shouldn't be, this guy shouldn't be a first-round pick?
That's a good question. I would figure that there's a lot of players that sometimes tend to get overrated. Joe Thornton might be one of those. He's kind of settled into that 80-90 point range. Some people may look at the acquisition of Martin Havlat and think that, he might be a little bit better, and I don't necessarily feel the same way. There's players, obviously the Sidney Crosby issue is a problem because, if he does end up coming back, he could be, he could be better and as a better first round pick, with half a season than some of these guys can in a full season. So there's a dilemma there. I think that there's other guys that you can look at, someone like maybe, I don't really know what Zach Parise is going to do. Obviously you do expect him to be better, but he had a difficult injury and, I haven't really paid as much attention to the Devils as I should have in the preseason, but he's a question mark. I think another one, too, is going to be Pavel Datsyuk, and this might be a little out of the ordinary, but I have a fairly negative feeling towards Detroit this year, not necessarily because of they're just a team that's in transition. Their prospects aren't good enough at this point to fill in their holes, and the veterans they have aren't good enough to hold the fort. So what I think you're going to see is a little bit more of a defensive element coming out of Detroit, and that defensive element is definitely going to hurt Pavel Datsyuk the most, who's probably the most offensively gifted player on that roster. So while people are going to look and go, whoa, what kind of playoff that he had, and he showed all the skill and all of that, there's still a dynamic that's missing in Detroit that's going to force them to play a little bit more defensively, and that's definitely going to hit his point standings.
Last question, Gus, and you just mentioned Sidney Crosby. We've talked about it. We've asked the other guests. If it's your pick and you're drafting in a 10-team pool, when do you take Sidney Crosby? What round, around what round would you go out on the limb and take him?
Probably in the third or the fourth round, somewhere after you've established yourself in terms of getting your first two rounds are dedicated to getting a star and a good goaltender. After that, I guess you can start taking take a risk. It also kind of depends on where you are. If you are somewhere in the middle where you have one pick and it's a snake draft and you have to wait a while, you probably don't want to be picking Sidney Crosby. If you're at the end where you get consecutive picks or a pick and then you wait a very small while before you can get your next one, that's where I think I would take a little bit more of a risk with Crosby, only because there's not as much of a gap between picks, and you could still work within your strategy and find value at that point. So it kind of depends on where you are in your draft order. If you're in the corners, I would take a little bit more of a risk. If you're in the middle, take less of a risk, and you're looking between three and four rounds there.
Gus Katsaros from McKean's Hockey, thanks very much for joining us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Tell our fans where they can find you throughout the season.
Guys, you can find me on McKean'sHockey.com and on MapleLeafsHotStove.com every once in a while.
And
in arenas everywhere. Thanks for having me, guys.
Do you have a Twitter?
Cats Hockey.
There you go. Gus, thanks very much for joining
us
on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. Let's head to commercial break. When we come back on the other side, do you draft with your heart or do you draft with your mind? Let's talk Winnipeg Jets
players.
Draft
with your wallet, Drew. Come on.
I'll draft with your wallet.
As his wallet's empty.
Exactly. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290.
Is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Fantasy Hockey Special, starring Drew Mindell, Richard Pollock, featuring Michael Remus, and Dave...
Oh, I forgot his last name.
I think he prefers David.
Featuring David something, and Ezra Ginsberg as the Beaver. The Illegal Curve Hockey Show Fantasy Hockey Special begins right now.
It actually began about a couple hours ago, but, I mean...
Best intro ever.
We have to...
Quiet, Beaver.
It's funny, because Dave isn't even here. I don't know why. I'm the Beaver.
Well, you might...
But I like it.
Yeah, you're definitely the Beaver.
We got the rack, and then I'm the Beaver.
Yeah, you're definitely the Beaver. There's no...
Drew used to be the Bear on Kick, but...
From now on, you're the Beaver. What are you laughing at?
As he hacked into my Facebook, of course.
Oh, yeah, of course he did. I don't know. Every week you leave the studio, and every week as he hacks into your Facebook... I don't know why you leave.
Richie
it open.
Just does pokes the most people. Like,
I don't know what that means.
Let's talk Winnipeg Jets players. You know,
okay.
we're over the moon thrilled. Yeah. We're over the moon thrilled to have a team back here. But how much does your love of your hometown team affect you when you're down there drafting and you got actual money on the line?
I read a really good article when I was prepping for my baseball pools back in April, and it was an article by a Philly guy, and he did this whole study on how. Based on, he went through all the average draft position of all these players, and then he took his draft and other Philly drafts and averaged it out. And what he noticed was that the Philly guys go a round or two too early, similar to what you'd think. It's like in our baseball pool, guys, we haven't had Winnipeg Jets for a while. In our baseball pools, Drew, you're in the pool with me. How early do the Toronto Blue Jays go?
They go quite early. And most of the time, I just find it to be... You know, when it's the Blue Jays, I don't really care. Yeah, they're the hometown team and whatever. People, you know, care about it, but, you know, you don't have the love for it that you do.
But you see the 162 games because they're on TV.
Right. But so, I mean, you know, so where do you... How are you going to balance the fact you're going to see the Jets 82 times this year versus, you know, how good they're actually going to be on the ice?
Okay,
does that skew your thinking?
I think you have to be realistic. That's what we've kind of been stressing as far as hockey pools go, that people should be realistic and not expect a guy to repeat a career year unless you really expect him to do that or others expect him to do that. But you have to be realistic as far as the Jets go. We've said this basically since the announcement came at the end of May that you know, this team's going to have trouble scoring goals, and most likely Byfuglien and Enstrom are going to be in the top four along with Kane and Ladd. The only guy that I think could break above 60-65 points is Kane. And I think that's the one guy, I'm not saying that he is. I mean, I think he's probably going to be in the high 50s, early 60s. But if there is one guy
when Drew was born.
Exactly.
That's very clever. Wow. First age joke, put it on the board. It's only been 2.5 hours.
Yeah, that's why. It's taking way too long.
Me and Richie were sitting beside each other watching the first Jets practice at the Iceplex, you know, really watching some certain guys. And, I mean, Evander Kane has so much natural ability, and I think one day, and it's probably not going to be next year, but, you know, in the next 4 years, I think Evander Kane's going to be a 90-point player in the NHL. I think he's that good. He's got all the tools. He's physical, fast. He's very well-liked by his teammates. He's got the world in front of him. And
there's a lot of guys who are well-liked.
I think that's the one guy, but as far as I'm concerned, you know, Andrew Ladd, Blake Wheeler, Brian Little... These are all guys in between 45 and 55 points.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Izzy. You nailed it. I mean, the perspectives here, going projections, and I want to see what McKean's has to say, too. Byfuglien has, and what Dauber has to say, too. Byfuglien is the highest projected point output on the team here. And then the rest of the guys, as he said, are in the 50 to 55 point range, 45 to 55 points.
Well, it's funny. McKean's actually has Ladd at 61 points.
Okay.
And then they've got Brian Little at 56, Byfuglien at 49, and then Enstrom, you know, just a little bit lower at 48, and then you've got, you know, the Burmistrovs and the Fairs.
So I think we're in the same ballpark. The question is, are you going to draft Andrew Ladd in the 70-point range because you like him? That's what you have to...
You shouldn't do that.
Exactly.
Andrew Ladd is easier said than done, though.
Andrew Ladd is not Jonathan Toews.
We'd love for him to become Andrew Jonathan Toews.
He's not even Phil Kessel, guys. Pool-wise. I tell you, most GMs would take Andrew Ladd over Phil Kessel. But the point is that pool-wise, Kessel would probably get you the, you know, Ladd last year got close to the 30-goal mark. I think he had 29 goals and 30 assists. Or the other way around, 30 and 29.
Ladd last year had 29 goals and 30 assists.
Okay, so 29 and 30. You know Kessel's going to get you 30. Do you know that Ladd will get you 30? And if you're looking for goals, something like that, just something to consider. Again, it's not real hockey. It's in the fantasy realm. So you want to maybe drop down the expectations a bit, right?
And once again... you know, and everyone is pretty much in agreement, you know, on the show and on the website that the Jets are going to be a tough team to play against. They've got a lot of guys that are physical. And if you watched the game in Winnipeg against Columbus last Tuesday, you'd see that this is going to be a scrappy team. Maybe consider taking an Alex Burmistrov or Blake Wheeler in a roto pool that, yeah, you get some points for penalty minutes. But these guys are still very much guys that aren't going to be guys that you want to draft in the first five rounds.
Right.
I mean, you can go ahead and if you're just having fun, I mean, there's a lot of people that have hockey pools just to draft their favorite players.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But this show is mainly for people that take it to a little bit seriously like we did, where
just
for four years we didn't have any friends and all we did was create this four-year hockey pool monster. But there's two ways. If you want to just draft players because you're going to watch them at the MTS Center, go ahead. But if you want to draft guys that are going to get more than 70 points, most likely Kane and maybe Ladd are the only two guys that should even be in that conversation.
And also the matter of the question is this, is, you know, if. I've heard a lot of that. Well, if Blake Wheeler scores 30 and if this guy scores 30 and if. That's a lot of ifs. Not all the ifs are going to happen. So make sure you balance out your team. I mean, one of these guys might score 30. I mean, if you had to say... You know, Wheeler, Ladd, and you say Wheeler, Ladd, Kane, if they score 30, I mean, I think...
Well, let's talk about Blake Wheeler. This is a guy who's going to get first-line minutes, like you mentioned. He's going to get a great opportunity to become a top-flight NHL scorer this season.
What do they have, Matt? What does McKean's have, Matt, as?
48 points.
See, I think, and Hockey Prospectus has him below 50. I think right there, that's value.
And I don't to be honest with you,
I think he's going to exceed 50 points.
I don't think that...
Do you think he's going to get between 50 and 60 points?
I don't think Kevin Cheveldayoff, Craig Heisinger, or even Claude Noel is expecting Blake Wheeler at 70 points.
He
had 44 points last year. Granted, he didn't play a lot of those games and minutes with the Jets. He was still on Boston for a bulk of that, playing in a different role. A full season, knowing his role, which is as a top-line left winger on this team... Where is he? Right winger on this team. Sorry. Is he going to get, you know, is he going to crack the 60-point mark?
Not 60, but I think
he
50,
will?
Yes.
Do I think he will crack the 60-point mark? No, I wouldn't put money on it. The 50-point mark, I think he's going to crack. I think the opportunities are there. I think he's the first-line right winger. I don't think anybody else is in his, you know, Fair came back. He's better than Fair talent-wise, a better skater than Fair. You know, Fair's got talent, big guy, good shot. You can skate well for a big guy, but Wheeler can really wheel for, no pun intended, for a big man. Now, he's not physical, but he's a really good stick handler, and he's got the skill, and he's going to get the opportunity, and he's starting the season healthy.
Will his statistical path emulate Andrew Ladd's at all, in that Ladd finally gets a chance to take a top line role, and saw his point totals increase accordingly?
It's a very good question. I think Ladd performed a little bit better offensively in the third line role than did Wheeler.
Okay.
But also he's playing a more offensive system in Chicago versus Boston. I think there's a lot of analogies to be made there, though, Drew. I think that's pretty bang on.
What about, then let's talk about a guy like, let's talk about Brian Little.
Brian Little is very talented. Stick handling and speed and can fire off a good, you know, quick shot. He's not the biggest guy. He's not the strongest guy. And I guess the question is, does he have the guys to play with that can put the puck in the net and capitalize on his speed and transition game? So I think his strength-wise, he's not the greatest. So he has to be playing with guys who can put the puck in the net to be able to give him those assists.
Who did he play with when he scored 31 goals?
Well, that was 3 years ago.
Is it not Kovalchuk?
I can check. Want me to check?
I thought it was Kovalchuk, but, I mean, he... A lot of people are talking about 3 years ago when he scored 31 goals, and I was pretty sure that he was playing with Kovalchuk.
He's only scored 31 over the last two seasons.
Right. A guy that hasn't been talked about, but that is, it's an interesting question because Brian Little is playing with two guys who aren't necessarily, I mean, they're not playmakers. So, I mean, it'll be tough to predict a 31 goal season now.
Right.
But he's done it before, though.
With a guy like Little, Drew, there's a lot of risk in it, with something like that. This is what I think. I think they're going to try and get balanced scoring from this team. I think that there's more of a risk of Little getting jumped over than there is Wheeler to me.
So you think that Little could possibly not see himself as on that top line at some point in the season?
Some people came in, the Ladd, Wheeler, and Little line last year was pretty good at the end of the season. I'm also convinced they're going to play those guys together. Now, granted, what they've seen a fair amount of practice is Little and Wheeler playing together, but I just think that Wheeler is, I don't think there's another right winger on the team that's going to steal Wheeler's minutes. They're going to see what they got here. Antropov is going to be, second line center slash winger, right winger. But I think Kane has a better chance of hopping over Ladd, especially for the next couple of years. But even this year, than does Fair or Antropov over Wheeler. Maybe I'm completely wrong.
Then who's going to center that line if it's not going to be Little?
Well, Burmistrov.
You think Burmistrov's ready to take that step?
I think you ought to give him the shot. I mean, you're not going to send him back to the minors.
Well, no, he's obviously not going back to the minors.
Yeah, so I would give him the shot. I mean, he's an offensive player. Put him with gifted players. Well, but the question is, the thing is, Drew, is Burmistrov still is more of a hands guy and kind of a setup guy than a scorer. So it's all about who you're playing with, right?
Right.
And I think Little needs to play with shooters.
Right, and you could make the argument that maybe it should be a consideration that Evander Kane moves up to the top line and then Andrew Ladd moves down to the second line. But then again, last year, the top line.
I think this team would be very happy, and this isn't so much fantasy right now, but what
yes,
the hell.
Yes, I agree.
This team would be very happy if Kane and Burmistrov outperformed Little and Ladd and were on the first line.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
Let's leave it there. When we come back on the other side of the break, we're going to talk fantasy goaltending with Justin Goldman of the Goalie Guild. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show's Fantasy Hockey Spectacular live on Sports Radio 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's our Fantasy Spectacular. We've had a great show so far. Let's keep it going. Let's go to Justin Goldman.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
There's only one guy out there who knows enough about goalie pad width. His name is Justin Goldman. He's from the Goalie Guild. Justin, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Oh, it's so exciting to be back on the show with you guys. And last season was a lot of fun. And, talking to the guy right before I came on, you guys have your team back, and I'm sure you guys are so pumped for the season to get underway, so it's going to be a lot of fun, I'm sure.
Absolutely. You're right about that, Justin. Might as well start with the local team, get them out of the way. Let's talk about the Jets goaltending. Andrei Pavlich, clear number one. What do you like about Pavlich's game?
I think last season, after the terrible incident that happened in the first game of the season, for him to kind of bounce back, not only mentally, but physically as well, and have the type of season that he had, I think he really established himself as one of the more premier goaltenders in the NHL. I do think he has elite skills. I mean, his glove hand is super quick. You saw that in most games last season. Really sound positionally, but he also has the reflexes and the foot speed to make those dazzling stops or those timely stops. So, Pavlik is the number one goaltender. I think he's going to have to make a pretty big adjustment in terms of playing in a city like Winnipeg. It's totally different than a city like Atlanta. So there is an adjustment there for him, but I expect good things from him overall this season.
Justin, we pretty much know that Roberto Luongo is going to have a poor start because he has a poor start every year, but overall, do you think he's going to take a step forward, step back, or do you think he's going to give us the usual Roberto Luongo type of goaltending in Vancouver?
Or will he be lynched by an angry Vancouver Canuck fan?
That too.
I think, he is under a lot of pressure. And last season, when you talk about goalies under the most pressure, it was Carey Price.
Yeah.
And I think this year you have to look at Roberto Luongo just because of how he kind of locked up and didn't play his normal self in the Stanley Cup Finals. And he had a few choice words about Tim Thomas, which I don't think was a very good thing for him to do. as far as mental toughness is concerned. And so, you know, I think he just made things tougher on himself heading into this season. You know, now the expectations are even higher than they were before. You know, if he doesn't get back to the Stanley Cup Finals, it's kind of a disappointing season in the eyes of a lot of fans. So I think fantasy-wise, you know, he'll still win 33, 34 games, but his workload is probably going to be a little bit less. I mean, to me, I kind of consider this season as the Corey Schneider showcase in Vancouver. He may not make it out of the season as a Canuck, and, you know, they're going to play him a bunch, I think, in the first half and give Luongo a little bit more rest so that he is, you know, mentally and physically prepared for the playoffs. So, you know, in terms of fantasy value, I think he actually takes a tiny step back, but you're still talking about, you know, one of the top, I don't know, 5-7 goalies in the NHL as far as skill is concerned. And, you know, he's only 1 year older. He's got a little bit more experience. And despite the pressure that he's under, you know, he's still going to be a really good goaltender this season.
Justin, a goaltender that agent, I think, didn't exactly have the best summer and was soon after fired, was Thomas Vokoun, signed in Washington, a team that's loaded with offense, signed a fair amount of depth players this offseason, shored up a bunch of weaknesses. Is he going to be a fantasy monster this year?
You know, it's really interesting because everyone looks at Vokoun's numbers and they see this really high save percentage on a really weak team. And so many people are led to believe, well, if he's posting a .922 save percentage in Florida, oh, he's going to go into Washington and just clean up and have even better statistics. But to me, and, you know, I don't really get into statistics too much. I like to look at situations. And you look at Vokoun's situation now in Washington, and it's a pretty big mental adjustment. I mean, instead of being on this team where he knows he's going to have to stand on his head every night and stop 38 to 40 shots a game and be that guy that just has terrific skill and really leads that Florida team. Well, now he has to kind of play like he's on a Detroit team where, you know, he's not going to see consistent shots and he's going to have to be way more timely than ever before. And I think, to me, I mean, for a goaltender, that's a big mental adjustment, and I don't think that's something that Vokoun has ever seen in his career, even going back to his days in Nashville. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be a mental adjustment, and I honestly don't think that Vokoun is going to post over a .920 save percentage just because I think he doesn't really have to. Now he just has to be timely. He just has to be ready to make, you know, 5 or 6 saves a game where the momentum could shift back in Washington's favor. And that's a big adjustment. I think he's going to have to get used to that, and it will affect his fantasy output just a little bit.
Justin, wanted to ask you about the Philadelphia Flyers savior in net, a part-time horticulturist. His name is Ilya Bryzgalov. Besides enjoying the parklands of Philly, do you think he's going to be their answer?
So in terms of him being their answer, I mean, I guess you're wondering, is he able to take the Flyers to the promised land in the Eastern Conference?
Mm-hmm. Well, is he going to be there? I mean, really, when you're talking about Philly, is he going to provide them with at least competent goaltending, something they haven't had?
Yeah, right. Well, definitely. I mean, he's so skilled, and with that frame, you know, he's a little bit deceptive. You don't really notice it until you're facing him that he takes up so much space in the net. And, you know, he's got some flair in his game. He's flashy. He's got just terrific senses, but he's also very positionally sound. So I think he'll definitely instill a lot of confidence in the Philadelphia Flyers team, especially the defense in front of him. I mean, Chris Pronger and Ilya Bryzgalov kind of as a duo on that defensive end, I mean, that's going to be terrific as far as fantasy value is concerned. And I think Bryzgalov will have very good stats as far as save percentage and goals against is concerned. You know, a lot of people have been asking me, is he capable of winning 40 games this year? I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, no goaltender won 40 games last season, and I can only think of a few goalies that are probably going to reach that number. And Sergei Bobrovsky is going to play a good number of games, and he's had a great preseason so far. So, you know, as far as fantasy value is concerned, I'm sure he's going to be up there in the upper level as far as goalies are concerned. But everything is all centered on the playoffs for him. And, you know, what he did last year against the Red Wings was, to be quite honest with you, it was brutal. I mean, I couldn't believe what I was seeing out of him. It was just bad goaltending. And, you know, it's going to be a lot of pressure playing in Philly. So, you know, regular season, I'm sure he's going to be fine, but he better be ready for the playoffs.
Justin, Toronto Maple Leafs goaltender James Reimer is obviously everyone in, you know, Manitoba's familiar with, coming from a small town. A lot of people are worried about James Reimer in Toronto this year. What is your take on James Reimer's, you know, potential this year?
I think James Reimer is really mentally tough, and you hear all these stories, especially you guys up there, you hear all the stories about his upbringing and his faith, you know, and kind of his perseverance. And those are all things that when you're in his type of situation in a crazy market like Toronto, heading into his dreaded sophomore season, that is really going to help him along and I think help him through some of the ups and downs that young goaltenders face when they are in that dreaded sophomore season. But in terms of his skill on the ice, there's still a lot of things that need to be worked out and he needs to improve upon. And I've watched both of his preseason games, or at least two of his preseason games on NHL Network. Mm-hmm. And the first one, he was brutal. I mean, you know, going out and trying to poke check pucks and just getting burned and still giving up really bad rebounds. You know, I know he lost about 15 pounds of weight, I think. And when you lose weight like that, you know, it's an adjustment in how you move and how you kind of position yourself in the net and you know, move laterally and recover back to your skates. And, you know, I think, again, he's going to have a lot of adjustments to make. Teams have scouted him now. They know where he thrives and where he struggles. You know, lots of teams are going to be aiming for that glove side high area. And it's such a different perspective for a goaltender when, you know, you come up and you have that success as a rookie in the second half of the season. And then you get that summer off and you're on this big high and you kind of expect success to come. And when it doesn't come, if he struggles in his first couple of games, you know, he could be in a lot of trouble because the fans will be on him. And, you know, just because he's this great guy and he's always got a smile on his face and, you know, he's this great young kid that everyone seems to love, you know, he has to find a way to win hockey games. And, again, last night, you know, watching him play against the Sabres, made a lot of good saves but still giving up way too many rebounds. And you lose a 2-1 hockey game against another really good goaltender in Ryan Miller, that's pressure, and I think he's going to have to find a way to just be even better than he was last season, and it's not going to be easy for him this year.
Justin, people always want to talk about L.A. and the goaltenders they have there. Jonathan Quick had a very good season last year, and, of course, Jonathan Bernier, very, very, very highly regarded within the hockey industry. How do you see that goaltending arrangement shaking out?
Oh, man. I mean, Los Angeles is so awesome when it comes to developing goaltenders. And, you know, I don't think they have the best tandem in the NHL. I'd probably reserve that for Boston. But when it comes down to pure skill, I mean, Jonathan Quick is so explosive. He's so much fun to watch. He's so quick and so energetic. You know, I think, again, he's going to have a great season. And it seems to me like every time Jonathan Bernier starts to push for more games, and he started to play a little bit better in the second half of last season, Quick just found a way to push back even harder. And I think you'll see a lot of that again this season. You know, Bernier is going to play more. That's what Terry Murray has said to the press. He wants to give Bernier more opportunities, and he wants it to be even more of a healthy competition. And Bernier really deserves that because he played a lot better in the second half of last season, had a really good finish to the regular season. But again, I just can't go against Jonathan Quick. I mean, every time I watch him, I'm so impressed with how he moves in the crease, his lateral pushes, his ability to make these outstanding toe saves, his flexibility, just everything about his natural abilities in goal just screams to me a kid who's continuing to fly under the radar. And if you want to have one real dark, you know, dark horse for possibly winning, you know, 35, 36 games this season with a really good save percentage, really good goals against average, it's probably going to be Jonathan Quick in the Western Conference. So, you know, I think Los Angeles is in one of those perfect positions where they're going to have tough decisions to make in terms of who to start on a bunch of nights, but you're still going to see Jonathan Quick kind of carry that quote-unquote starter's role for most of the season.
We wanted to talk about another goaltender who was injured at the end of last year. Right next to Los Angeles is Anaheim, and he's Jonas Hiller. You know, we've seen what he can do. We've seen him play for, you know, Team Switzerland in the Olympics. We know that he's one of the great, best goalies. Is he going to bounce back from his bizarre case of vertigo or the concussion or really whatever it was that failed him at the end of last year?
Yeah, I think so. You know, the whole thing with the quote-unquote vertigo is the fact that I have to put that word in quotes. I mean, nobody really knew exactly what it was. And I hear so many things like, oh, it was a concussion, and they just don't really want to say it because that word is so scary these days, this, that, and the other. And honestly, to me, being a goaltender, I think a lot of it was just, you know, he just wore down and took too many shots to the head. And, yeah, vertigo, you know, he probably had those symptoms for sure, but it could have just been a combination of all these different things. And I still think he's at that point in his career where he's not really comfortable or truly understanding of what it takes to play 60, 65 games in the NHL. So to me, and I told this to everyone, like, he just needed to get away from hockey for more than a few weeks. You know, he goes back to Switzerland, and he has so much fun with his buddies over there, and that's exactly what he needed. He just kind of needed to push the mental reset button and get himself, you know, away from the game and clear his mind. And all those symptoms went away, and, you know, all the kind of press and media surrounding it all, he's got away from it. And now I think he's in a position where he's absolutely going to bounce back. I mean, the skills and his abilities, nobody is going to question that. Everyone, like you said, everyone knows what he's capable of doing. So I absolutely think he's going to be a great goaltender this season, great fantasy value for Anaheim. Maybe the defense in front of him has some question marks, but... you know, it's kind of like Vokoun in Florida. He knows what it takes to stop a lot of pucks on a nightly basis. He always finds a way to make one or two of those big-time, momentum-crushing saves, and I see really good things for Jonas Hiller this season. I'm sure he'll probably stay healthy for the whole 82-game schedule.
Justin, before we let you go, tell our audience how they can find you on the internet and on Twitter and on everything like that.
Oh, just go to thegoalieguild.com. Make sure you have the before it. Same thing on Twitter, The Goalie Guild. And, you know, a lot of people see me and they think I'm too busy to answer their goalie questions or their fantasy questions, but that's exactly why I'm here. That's exactly what an independent goalie scout does. So definitely reach out to me. I love being on radio shows. I love talking goalies, as you can tell. So that's why I'm here, and I appreciate you guys bringing me on once again.
Justin Goldman of the Goalie Guild, thanks very much for joining us this afternoon on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Yeah, no problem. Go Winnipeg Jets, and I'm really excited for you guys to have your hockey team back.
Thanks, Justin. Take care.
Take
care,
Justin. Bye.
Let's head to commercial when we come back on the other side. We'll go through some players who might...
Game show, Drew. We're going to get the game show going.
We're not going to the game show.
So unilateral game show decision?
We said we were.
Well, we'll get in the last hour. We'll get one more game part.
We'll get another game.
But what we're going to do next segment is we're going to focus on players without the name value, quote-unquote, that you can get that are the same in terms of production.
Exactly. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show's Fantasy Hockey Spectacular on Sports Radio 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
I wanted Drew. I needed Drew.
But most of all.
Apparently karaoke's later on tonight, boys. Not just yet. Save the public. Spare the public from your karaoke-ing.
When I go to karaoke, I usually don't sing. I usually just
drink.
Hover around in the corner drinking, and then I pass out on a table.
So remember your birthday like 5 years ago and you ended up passing out in the booth and nobody knew where you were?
No.
Of course he doesn't. He passed out. Why would he remember
where
that?
Was that?
It's not important.
Winnipeg establishment on Cordon Avenue.
Let's talk about players that you can get on the cheap that might get some the same amount of points as the guys with the quote-unquote name cachet. There's that word again, cachet. Richie, you had a bunch of guys who jumped out to you on that front.
Well, you know, it's not so much guys that jump out, Drew, but we talked about it last year. Jonathan Toews, great player. I mean, forget the pools for a second. You're going to take him... you know, in your top 10, 15, because he's one of the best players in the NHL. But you're going to take Jonathan Toews in your pool, and Jonathan Toews carries that cachet value and that name value that you have.
Probably second round value.
But what about a guy like Louis Erickson? How often you hear the name Louis Erickson, Drew?
Myself, not that often.
Right, not that often, right? And so when you look at it, you know, Louis Erickson lost Brad Richards, sure. That's a big loss, don't get me wrong. Ribeiro's a very good passer. Nosga's Richards. Ben's a very good player, too. A little bit different than Richards, but there's players with talent there, and a Louis Erickson, you know, obviously it's a wing versus a center, but a guy like that can give you similar production without the value. Probably get him two rounds later in some pools.
By the way, McKean's has Louis Erickson leading the Stars with 77 points, which would be his best year ever.
And think about that, though.
You're right. He's not going to go in the first two rounds. You could probably get, you know, it's all about value. Really, that's what it boils down to when you're talking about fantasy sports in general, is about getting good value for the area you're picking a guy
and,
in.
And that value is often found on teams where there is opportunities. And that's exactly what Richard just said. I mean, in Dallas, the team, it's not a bad team. It's not one of the top teams in the West. They're going to be, you know, in that glut trying to get the eighth and final playoff spot, probably. That's what I'd be guessing, that they're somewhere in between 7 and 10.
It's a pretty bad team in Dallas, isn't that?
They might even be worse. But it's teams like that where you're going to find the value, because even if you're a quote-unquote kind of casual hockey pool person, or even, you know, just talking about casual hockey fans, you've already heard all these big names. So you can – everyone's been in a hockey pool where someone – you know, walks in and looks at the guy that's on the front of the guy, and just says, yeah, I'll take Patrick Kane. You know, he's going to get 40 goals. He's going to get 80 points. That's
he's
easy.
He's going to punch two cabbies.
Yeah, exactly, Drew. But that value is going to be found in the opportunity. So look at teams like Colorado and St. Louis, young teams. Look at guys that are possibly, you know, going to get you more points than maybe their salaries would indicate. So there's definitely an art and a science to hockey pools. There's definitely a lot of work that you can do. You can definitely overthink it. And trust me, I've definitely overanalyzed and overthought hockey pools.
Maybe when you were doing was overthinked in LinkedIn.
Nice.
But done. I mean, there's homework that you can do. I mean, it's tough. It's always tough, in my opinion, in hockey pools to predict the guys. The rookies, or even the guys in their third or fourth years, those guys that are going to have their breakout seasons.
Anybody else jump out at you as a good example?
Well, you know, you're going to talk about a guy like Jason Spezza. I mean, Jason Spezza is so talented. Injury prone, but so talented. And based on the past few seasons and the worry of guys to play with that, Daniel Alfredson's getting older. Who does he play with on the other side? What's the production going to be like? Is he going to be healthy? Spezza's going to have that name and cachet value of Heatley, Spezza, and Alfredson, right?
Right.
Maybe
going back from
Heatley anymore.
Going back from years ago.
Heatley anymore. Alfredson's getting older. You know, a guy like Miguel Grabowski. Some guys in Toronto probably take the Leafs too high. Other guys probably stay away from them because they hate the Leafs. But a guy like Grabowski and Spezza, they could very well end up within 10 points of each other and probably three rounds apart. Something like that. Another one, Marian Gaborik.
Sure.
Has a ton of value. He's a great player. Richards will help him. But you know all about Marian Gaborik because he's a star. What about Jamie Benn? No pun intended. He's a Dallas star, but you don't know much about him. He's going to have an opportunity with... So Richards kind of helps both of them. He leaves Dallas, gives Benn more ice time, which he got after Richards was traded, and then Richards goes to New York and helps Gaborik play. But again, Gaborik has a name value. So if you see him on the list, well, Gaborik's available. I don't know if I want to take the risk on Benn, but probably going to be similar production. So the name carries a lot of weight, but maybe not as much as it... maybe more than it should, excuse me.
Richie, if you'll let me quickly throw out a couple names here of guys that I don't know if they necessarily fit in this category of maybe lesser-known guys, but maybe guys that are going to go lower than they would have in earlier years, or two guys on the New Jersey Devils.
I'm shocked.
Big surprise. Zach Parise, who missed essentially the entire year last year with the exception of what? How many games did he play? 10? 13 games. He played 13 games last year. Ilya Kovalchuk had that horrible first half. Had 60 points.
Yep.
But he usually was around the 88, 92 point range. Those are two guys that I look at as guys that probably were drafted by most people in their hockey pools in the first round, and that this year won't be, because people will look at the numbers and say, oh, well, Kovalchuk, he only had 60 points. Parise, he didn't even play last year. Yep. But as far as I'm concerned, those are both guys that you still have to put in the 85 to 90 point range. Parise, there's questions about how he's going to be coming off that injury.
The contract year.
Exactly. He signed a one-year contract.
Kovalchuk's on a contract year in 2040.
Those are guys out there for people that are you know wondering who you might get higher, better value for players. I would look at Parise and Kovalchuk because in our hockey pool, they were both first-rounders, but Kovalchuk had a bad year, and Parise didn't really have a year. So I think I would look at those two guys as taking maybe late first round in a deep pool or maybe high in the second round.
I think you can get Parise in the second round this year because of the skepticism with his injury. Kovalchuk might still be a late first-round pick.
Do you think he's still going to go first round?
You know, Drew, I mean, guys like him are hard to come by, right?
Especially in a pool that rewards goals. He's usually in between 40 and 50 goals.
Like, I think Kovalchuk's probably in most pools a mid-second-round pick. But I wouldn't be surprised if somebody reached end of first round in the deep pool. I think mid-late second round.
Okay, yeah, mid to late second round wouldn't surprise me. If I see him go in the first round, I'm going
to... But I mean, to be honest, Drew, it's between Henrik Zetterberg and Kovalchuk. Who are you taking? So it's not hard to see him go from mid-second round to early second round. And even late first, I mean, a 14-team pool. We have sometimes in 14-team pools. Remember, it's also the whole snake issue.
Sure.
You're not going to get him.
No, if you're 10 or if you're 11 or 10 and he passes you, he's not coming back. It's a fair point. It's a fair point. Let's leave it there. Let's head to commercial. When we come back, we're going to sort of transition a little bit, start talking about the Winnipeg Jets in a non-fantasy aspect. We'll still touch on fantasy. We got one more hour to go. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290.